everybody. Welcome back to episode 63 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. I am back from my stay in CDMX. I'll talk about Mexico City in a minute, but I'm reporting live from World Champions, New York City. You know, we touched down. The champs are in town. We've been winning. We've been up all summer. Luckily, I got back in time to partake in the parade, which was unbelievable. I went with some friends. I went early to get into the mix, which was a lot of fun. I was really in there, you know, saying hi to people, kissing babies. It was quite beautiful. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Super happy I was able to experience that. Just see the city that alive was, it sounds corny as hell, but like breathtaking and unifying. To see that many people, you know, in the blues and the oranges, that south of the garden, and seeing generational people celebrating. You could see kids that were elated, but, you know, men in their 50s and then even men, you know, in their older, you know, grandpa years, all experiencing this with the same amount of joy. I think it's a really cool thing about emotions that you don't experience them different based on, you know, necessarily your age or life experience. They can all hit you in the same way. And it's a really unifying shared experience that also strangers can share. There were moments of just like elation and joy. I was high-fiving. I was on a city bike most of the day, high-fiving random people. I'll get into it in a second. I was hanging out with Boz. He did a really awesome show with PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, here in the city. We were saying like Knicks in five is like a sign off, as a tagline, like, all right, bro, like, good night, Knicks in five. Like, we were using it as a slang term to say goodbye to each other, to end a conversation, which was very funny. But yeah, it's been, you know, I touched down from Mexico City Tuesday afternoon. I went straight to basketball that evening, balled out. This is when I watch a lot of basketball and consume a lot of basketball, as a fan and also as a student, I just end up playing really well. And I, you know, not to pat myself on the back, your boy went off Tuesday. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, so Thursday was a long one, but let's get into, I got some fun news. What we're going to run into, we'll talk about like what I've been up to lately and obviously some music news. Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff going on. So let's jump right into, this last night. I'm recording this, by the way, in the middle of a monsoon. I'm watching, in between off camera here, the France is playing, their match today. They are, currently up 1-0, courtesy of Mbappe, who scored his 15th World Cup goal at 27 years young. Messi earlier this afternoon punched in two. So he broke the all-time record, I believe, with 18 goals. Mbappe, again, not too far behind, obviously playing in less World Cups and much younger. But I'm really priming for that France, Argentina final rematch. There's been some incredible footy. These guys have been playing out of their minds, and it's such an exciting sport. It's so cool to see the countries, the North American countries unite throughout this process. I love following the Euro people's experience of trying ranch dressing for the first time, or going to like a Buc-ee's or a 7-Eleven, not a 7-Eleven, it's pretty international, but like a Sheetz, and just trying like the size of American cuisine, seeing people. When I was in Mexico, I saw like North Koreans, not North Koreans, Jesus Christ, but seeing Koreans chug beer with Mexicans or do tequila shots with Mexicans and cheer for each other in loss and in defeat and just lift each other up in Guadalajara and in CDMX. Yeah, it's been beautiful. Sports, as I've said many a times, are such a great unifier of cultural differences and a means to progress things forward socially and politically. Obviously, in terms of American history alone, the integration of American sports through baseball and football have had seriously positive, you know, outcomes in terms of how, you know, building equality, you know, across the board, beyond the field, beyond the gridiron, and challenging politicians and casual fans to see people of color as equals. It's pretty sick. I think the power of sports is beautiful, and it's certainly at a time like this, we need this, especially in this country. So selfishly, I'm very happy that we were the host, one of the few host countries this go around. So anyway, back to last night. So last night, staying relatively on football, Boz has a fantastic relationship with the football club Paris Saint-Germain. I actually went out with him to Paris a few months ago for a week, met that that team of people that really are running behind the scenes there in the marketing division of PSG. Boz did this amazing recording camp with them, has had a relationship with them for years. And last night in the locker room, not the locker room, in the pseudo green room at this pop-up space that we were at off of Union Square, I'll paint the picture of this room. It's like a long conference table, and it's just, you know, myself, Boz, Boz's brother, and J. Cole's manager, for those that may not know. A bunch of the fiends, local fiends, Boss's cousins that were in town, and then just a couple friends. So it's like very like a family space. And the story came up of how Boz got this PSG relationship and how this all came to be and how he, you know, really took what was a happy accident, or just not a happy accident, a coincidence of sorts, that ended up turning into this incredible years-long relationship with the football club. It's going on 8 years now because this happened in 2018, and it happened when J. Cole wasn't too happy with the wardrobe for the Tribe music video shoot. Tribe, one of Boz's most recognizable, noticeable songs. And I actually have the video here, which I will insert over here if you're watching on YouTube, because I actually filmed Boz and Ebe retelling that story. It is pretty awesome to see them both have that moment of like, you could tell this is something that they've discussed once before, but it hasn't come up in a while. And being in that very, you know, PSG dominant environment, it was really cool to see them retell the story. So enjoy that. I'll play it right now.
You think this is going to get worn by any human being?
You know what I thought about today? This. No, you know what they call it, a canon event or something? You're so happy.
Or like a core memory?
Because Cole.
Yes, yo, yeah.
Because I had on a yellow PSG shirt.
When we were shooting the Tribe video? And I think whoever pulled Cole's clothes, he didn't like the shirt he had on.
We was on tour.
Oh, yeah, because Cole wore one in the Tribe video.
I had a yellow PSG shirt.
Ebe had that shirt.
So he's like, yo, let me just wear it. Yeah.
Literally before we started shooting, these niggas just exchanged shirts.
And then they ended up hitting Boss up like, yo. PSG ended up hitting him up.
But you were a fan already.
We were already fans. Yeah,
no. They were tapped in from Lit. They had kind of tapped in from Lit.
That's what
but the gas was Cole wearing.
Yeah, Cole
then after that, it was like, come to a game, nigga.
Open invite.
Now, come on now. He's 12 man. He's a 12 man, baby.
He's walking out during the intro. It's like one of the kids. One of the mascots. Boss is one of the mascots.
Lifelong kid, man.
I'm just bringing the game ball out.
Yeah, this thing is incredible.
I remember that moment. It's a history-defining moment.
It changed our trajectory.
Literally, Cole was like, Ebe, let me get your shirt. Right before we shot Tribe.
What year was that?
That was 2018.
2018.
We dropped Tribe August 2018. And then what tour were we starting in Miami? KOD tour.
Pretty great story. I love moments like that in hip hop. Honestly, I do have moments like that on my phone. And there are moments that I always want to share, but not sure if I should share. But this was something lighthearted and really wholesome. And I generally am not filming in those moments either. I try to take those in pause, but Boz was also holding up, you can see in the video, the signed PSG jersey from the whole football club, which is pretty cool. The team gifted him that. It was very funny to see his reaction, again, in the spirit of reacting like a happy kid. You could tell how much that meant to him. So we ended up having a great night. The show was great. ASAP Ferg, Ferg also performed at the venue as well. And then we went to a little after-hour spot and had ourselves a little night on a Sunday night. So your boy is, I wasn't hurting this morning. I was just a little tired because it ended up being later than I thought. To my credit, I did not go out Saturday night. So I was well rested. So I didn't feel that guilty about having a few drinks last night. I tapped into that Clase Azul as the fiends tend to do. I'm super happy to be back in New York. Again, World Cup heavy. I'm fully in my footy bag. footy, basketball. I'm trying to get reacclimated to a routine here in New York. I have been just busy with other things as well, to no surprise. Obviously looking for more adventures and more travel. I'm very excited to get back on the road, but New York currently is a magical place because of the Knicks, and I need to soak up more of this real New York energy because I have been away for quite a while. So again, super happy to be back. Let's tap into some quick music news. Drake's Iceman run has finally come to an end, meaning in number one spot wise. Sorry, I framed that as if the album's a flop or it's over. The album exited the number one spot after its fifth week, which is, you know, quite impressive. Again, Iceman broke a shit ton of records. Still, that album personally is in heavy rotation. For me, it has not left. I was listening to it in Mexico City, along with a lot of other music as well. But it is definitely a mainstay for me throughout the summer. Kanye's concert controversy. So Kanye's trying to warm up to doing shows back domestically here in the United States. But the mayor of San Antonio calls for the cancellation of his upcoming concert in the city. And he currently also has shows scheduled for Tampa Bay, in Florida, and Chicago, obviously, as well, his home city. Kanye still, it's interesting because we're seeing someone that's struggling to have that reintegration to the culture after a lot of the bigoted and you know, racist things that he said. It doesn't seem like, you know, I'm not excusing anything that he said or even really accepting his apologies, but with a name, I think it matters more because of how big his name and weight is. Whereas people that are lower on the totem pole may be excused more because of how under the radar they are. Or they're also easier to cancel because if you're lower on the totem pole, people will forget about you quick because you're not that important to begin with. But Kanye will always find himself in the most troubling and difficult position. Wishing him well. I honestly, from my perspective, not hearing from him is a great thing. I think the more we hear from Kanye, the more negative things come out, whether it be something he said or did. So it's good at least that he's trying to reintegrate himself purely off the music. Bully is a pretty solid album. And I like that he's, like what Drake did, is turning back to two very different things, by the way. But I like that they're both using the music as a tool to letting their art speak for their public perception rather than, you know, subbing online or tweeting certain things or getting on a hot mic on TMZ and saying some wild, dumb shit. Also, side note, I am home. I'm just in a different room. I just wanted to sit in this chair that I haven't sat in my office for a while. I have a lot of my plants over here. My Monstera and my ZZ are over here. I just moved this light in the ground. There's my usual camera over there that I'm just not using today. I'm just going off the laptop. I really do like recording off the laptop. It's honestly much more easier and mobile, and I can talk with my hands more freely, which is quite nice. Anywho, also the red hat. My friend, this is a really fun story. So, by the way, wearing a red hat in public, Jesus Christ. This is my first red hat that I've ever owned. A lot of eyes. And I'm like, do I look like the kind of dude, especially I'm black. Like, do I look like the kind of brother that would just have a Trump hat? Do I look like that? You know, that like weird racist guy that sits on the airplane and like looks as passengers walk by and he like wants to have a reaction with them. He's like, yep, like, mm-hmm, that, like, stupid meme. I'm trying to find a photo of it and insert it here. But, like, I get offended when people assume that, like, shit is sweet and I'm, like, pro-MAGA or, like, I fuck with any of that shit. And I will jump out ahead of it and go, you got me fucked up. This is just a really fly, stylish hat from my homie Rhymes Like Dimes. So here's a quick side story here. So his name is Robin. He's a Belgian artist. When I worked at Hot 97 back in 2017, saw his work on Instagram. He's an illustrator and animator now as well, and painter. But he posted something, I think he had like maybe 10,000 followers. He was very small on Instagram at the time. and I liked his work. And at this time, I'm reaching out to not only musicians to interview, and mind you, at Hot 97, I was interviewing people, but doing all my research and reaching out on my own. Him being one of the first interviews that I secured, because I really wanted to expand beyond just rappers and singers. I wanted just to invite all creatives into my world and write about all types of creatives. I reached out to him. We did a on-phone interview, again, because he lives in Belgium. And one of the coolest, most creative guys I had the pleasure of speaking with at the time. And then also just to see the trajectory of his career to where he's now. To speed through this, he's had shows at Art Basel. He's done major galleries all over. He's collaborated with Tyler, the Creator, the Mac Miller Estate. He works a shit ton with Anderson .Paak and No Worries, his collaborative duo with Knowledge. He's actually done a full-scale illustrated music video for them. He's collaborated with so many other artists, and I'll insert some of his work here. Damn, I keep pointing the wrong way because it's inverted on the screen. But he is just genuinely one of the sweetest guys, one of the coolest guys. And after 8 years of knowing him, he's doing a current gallery in New York. Actually, if you're listening to this, today is the last day. If you can swing over there, if you're in New York, I believe it's 16 Morton Street, over there in the West Village, go by, get yourself a hat or shirt. I bought myself a print as well. I had to splurge and get one of his limited edition prints, which I'm super excited to collect. I've been trying to collect more art lately. As well, especially when it's meaningful and from friends too. But just an incredible, talented artist and a nice guy. And one of those artists where when you see his work, you'll be like, oh, I've seen that before. Like, I know that style because he has such a distinct, unique style, which I think really made me gravitate towards his work more initially, honestly, before I even spoke to him. And the color palette that he uses, the softness of his work, and just like the flow and vibe of just like, very summery Cali, you know, it's feel good art, coming from somebody that's just a really good person. So yeah, he's out here right now. And the showing is incredible. He painted this, BMW, a full custom paint job that took, the car took months to build and construct, but the painting itself took about 2 weeks. It's a collaborative effort between him and another artist. Also beautiful. Again, I'll put images up here if you're watching on YouTube. But yeah, just really happy to call someone like that a friend. And after nearly 10 years to finally meet him in person and to meet his manager, because this is a story that Rhymes has told time and time again, that his first interview in America was done at Hot 97 by yours truly. So it's just a fun moment for him and a super fun moment for me. And I'm just happy that I was able to have a platform like that and use it to make real long lasting relationships with some really talented people. Okay. Enough on that. I am very happy of my friends that all succeed and do well. Let's stay positive before we get into like some sad hip hop news. Future and Pharrell have their collab album that they previewed, a new album called The Real Me. I am always in the mood for more Future. There currently is no release date. All we just have is the name, which I'm not a big fan of that kind of teasing style. If you're going to drop a name, drop a date, you know, I don't care to dissect this too much, but Pharrell for me currently is like a coin flip. Although he did smoke the production of Clip's album, Let God So Own Him Out. But that being said, that was him tapping in with the people that he, you know, started with. That's his sound. I don't know if Pharrell, this sounds so ridiculous, but like, I don't know if Pharrell's sound works well with a Future, you know? That's not, it's a different bag. It's a different type of rap. I don't know if that 4-bar intro count is going to hit the same way that it does with him, you know, tapping back in with Clips, that's a group that he's been working with for his entire career. I hope that's the case. I'd hate for Future to waste an album with this whole like lock in with a producer concept and then fumble it. So I really hope that it's great. But I love Future. I'm never gonna skip a Future album though. So. In really tragic hip-hop news, and to be honest, I don't have much beyond, I'm also not going to speculate on what happened and the rumors that I saw that happened, but Tay Keith passed away what I saw, alleged overdose in his apartment. He's like 28, 29. He's a young guy. Take Keith, I mean, goes without saying, an incredible producer, forever cemented in the rafters as someone that really changed the sound of hip hop and pushed the genre into the direction that we are in now. That Lock Boy JB's record, Look Alive, is the first record that comes to mind with the remix, of course, with Drake when he was on that. But shout out Tay Keith and his loved ones and everybody that worked and collaborated with him. I saw a lot of posts about it, and there's no easy way to lose somebody, especially in a tragic way such as that. And I'm certain I saw, you know, that he had been on an Instagram Live not too long before, looking a little, you know, off or something of the sort. Everything, you know, in hindsight's 2020, but a difficult situation, which also stems into the brutal, like awful, gruesome accident, the helicopter accident with Oliver Tree. And there were 6 lives lost on board. And pardon me for not knowing the names of the other victims, but there was this other streamer, YouTuber, just again, more videos, footage of that. It's stuff that we should not be exposed to nor see, but somehow always finds its way on my X feed. Twitter is quite literally the worst place in the world. And I can't stop looking at it, which is so embarrassing for so many reasons. I hate it, but it's like it's like a crash. You just can't look away, and I keep coming back to it. I've been trying to tweet more because I do quite well over there. Seems like people are aligned with some of my ridiculous takes, but once I get on there, it's hard to get off. And I'm really trying to do better at staying off my phone. Failing miserably at that, by the way. I'm saying it like I'm making the conscious effort by vocalizing it, but it is going god awful. My screen time is through the roof, which just means I need to be more busy focusing on other things that are more productive. Oh, let's circle back to basketball for a minute, because as I'm recording this, there's a lot of talk about Giannis getting traded to the Celtics, which is quite terrifying. I don't know. They obviously would have to get rid of Jaylen Brown. I think it's pretty awesome, to be honest, as a Knicks fan, to know that we are the team that broke the Celtics. It's just really fun that they're in this like reconstructive ground up, figured out. We need to get a new superstar in here because our current rotation can't beat our rival in our own division, which is pretty exciting for me as a fan, but also terrifying because now we have to go against Giannis regularly, which is a feat in its own. I do want to say I have been privy to some information via Knicks players that, I mean, it's like also not a secret. Like, we're going to end up losing Landry Shamet or Mitch Robinson because Dolan has made it clear he's not going to dip into the second curtain. For those who don't know what that means, it means like we'd have to pay a specific luxury tax on the year to to be able to afford their contracts, because now they're worth significantly much more. A luxury tax that Dolan has publicly said he's not willing to pay, which is sad because like we will have to break up at least one, if not two, key pieces from our championship because we will not be able to afford all of them. Mainly Mitch and Shamet. I believe Alvarado as well is also in that conversation, but. And I love Alvarado, but losing Mitch or Shamet, I think, would be a bigger blow to our rotations. Obviously, Mitch is in an interesting situation because New York worked so well for him. He's never been healthy his whole career. He's also, the Knicks have built a rotation that works best for the type of player that he is. And I understand, like, if you're a bag chaser, get the bag. But no team is going to be able to rotationally use Mitch the way in which we built a rotation around him that really maximizes his potential and makes him look like the superstar that he's capable of being. But, you know, not straining him to the extent where he's, you know, missing games or exposing his weak spots, which this will be interesting to see. But I'm prepared to see some of the guys that I spent so much time rooting for, walk from this, not walk, but, you know, get traded or get moved from this team, which isn't something, you know, this isn't new. Like, obviously DiVincenzo, losing DiVincenzo and losing, Hartenstein were two big blows to my, my fandom as a Knicks fan, especially seeing Hartenstein go to OKC and just perfect that push shot and become a real threat on that team, deservedly so. And I missed Emmanuel quickly as well. I did enjoy IQ as well. Oh, while I'm back on the hoop stuff, Mamdani's speech, at City Hall during the Knicks parade, he gave one of the best speeches I've ever heard at a sporting event of all time. I mean, it was unbelievable. That man just never misses an opportunity to just leave like an impactful message and just continue to push positivity. He's pushing P. Mamdani. Unbelievable speech. And Dolan is a fucking scumbag for, you know, kind of dubbing him and not supporting the speech, or, you know, looking him in the eye or shaking his hand when Mamdani hands him a fucking key to the city. It's just sad how, like even at that, like, extreme wealth and at that level, you can't put differences aside and just be a fucking, like, human and just be, like, put the betterment of the program and the day itself ahead of your own ego. But, again, that's to no surprise, because that's that style. That's that type of company. It's the same thing Trump, suffers from, where you it's impossible for you to put others first and the betterment of other people, even when, bro, like, people are celebrating you. Like, it wasn't people, I don't know, like, it's so sad. It's in moments like that of, like, great grandeur and joy that they really expose themselves as the people that they are, because their inability to still sit and stew and disgust in those moments is really, really sad. Quite disheartening. Yeah. So anyway, I have a few movies I need to see. I haven't seen Spielberg's new film Disclosure Day. There's a new fighting, Chinese action film that Boz and my buddy Doobie saw that they really enjoyed. They said that amazing fighting sequences that I need to see. Toy Story 5 is out. I'm not saying this ironically. I mean, I grew up on that franchise. That franchise is built for kids of my generation. I'm super geeked to go see that. I need to make time to see that as well. But honestly, the majority of my consumption time has gone towards these World Cup matches, which have been incredible. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I don't follow many clubs. I would say I'm a PSG fan, but even that's a newer fandom over the last couple of years. But there's something about the World Cup that just pulls me in every time, and I'm loving it. So I will be mostly paying attention to that. But yes, I'm back in New York. I should be parked here for a minute, and again, we'll try to grab some more homies, get some more guests on. I hung out with a lot of the fiends and people that I really fuck with last night, and trying to set up time to get some people on here to talk about, you know, more local New York things, but also just some things going on in more in sports and music, obviously, as well. Some artists that I want to talk to, and I tell them I don't want to talk about music or your new music or album coming out, but they're like, we got to save it to talk about that. I'm like, all right, man, like, you can come on and talk about your favorite ice cream. Like, we can open up the conversation about anything, but you know how artists can be. Anyway, you guys, this was episode 63, pardon me, of Something Wrong With The Podcast. Also, happy belated Father's Day to the fathers out there. For those that are with us and those that we have lost, dads are incredibly important and often in hip-hop culture, dissed and overlooked. So not everybody in the hip-hop community had a bad dad. Let's break that stigma, break that trope, and be good fathers, brothers, husbands, etc. To those around us. So I love you all. Thank you so much. This is episode 63. Peace. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.